Good morning. It's good to have you all here. Thanks for coming. I appreciate it. Okay, let's open with a word of prayer. And dear Father, thank you for your word. Lord, thank you that we can hold it in our hands. We can study it. Lord, we can learn from it. And I pray, Father, that we'll be doing that very thing. Lord, to study your word, to know what it says, to know what it contains, to learn about you, to learn about us, to learn about the past, the future. Lord, it's all here. And Lord, in a book that we can read. We just pray that the Holy Spirit will open our hearts this morning, Lord, to the message. I pray, Father, that you'll speak to each and every heart. And Lord, just help us all just to have a stronger desire, Lord, to study your word, to know what's in it. And Lord, as a result, just to have a closer walk with you. And so we pray to that end, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay, we're in the process of finishing up chapter 9. And I thought maybe we might do it last week. We didn't get it done. But anyway, rather than back up, I'd like to just go ahead and start off by reading the last three verses. I think it's 30 through 33, if I remember right. Okay. Should be sure I got this right. I think I do. Yeah, let's go ahead and read 30 through 33. And who'd read those for us? Please, Delbert? Okay, thank you, Delbert. Okay, so we've been taking a look at that. You know, the Gentiles who were not seeking God, they were not looking for God, they have attained unto righteousness, and yet the Jews who diligently searched the Scriptures, they prided themselves in studying the Scriptures. I mean, they lived it, they were taught it from little kids all the way through. They didn't get it. And they're God's chosen people. You know, and that just seemed to be a paradox, you know. And so, as we just take a look, like in verse 32 here, it says, wherefore, why didn't the Jews get it? Because they sought it not by faith. Folks, that is a big sentence, okay? They sought it not by faith. They were doing it on their works. We've talked about that a lot in the past. And yet the Gentiles, the Bibles we just studied, God to provoke the Jews to jealousy, God just grafted the Gentiles. We're grafted in as a wild olive branch into the root, and we've been grafted in, and so God's removed them off the place of blessing and the place of the witness group, and has given it to the Gentiles, and so the Gentiles here weren't even looking for it. They weren't. You know, they got it. And again, folks, it is by God's mercy. We're going to see that. God's grace that we're grafted in. We don't deserve it, but yet we are. It's God's mercy, his grace. And it's all of God's sovereign choice to do that. And so they sought it not by faith, but as it was by the works of the law. You know, they're trying to live up to the law. They're doing their best they can. And then in verse 33, it just says, I lay in Zion a stumbling stone, which is referring to Christ, Jesus Christ. And folks, Jesus Christ is a stumbling stone. It was back then to the Jews. It is today. I mean, and even in our own society, in the United States of America, you can talk about any kind of religion and, you know, a lot of religions anyway, in schools, and stuff like that. You mention the name Jesus Christ, and everybody throws their hands in the air. They scream, and you know, you're teaching religion, and we don't. And anyway, you mention Christ. Christ's a stumbling stone, folks, all over. And that's what the Bible says. He's a stumbling stone. People stumble at it. Okay. And so it says they sought it. In verse 32, it says it sought it not by faith. And folks, I want to give you an illustration this morning. Some of you have heard this before. I think it bears repeating, so I'm going to repeat it this morning. And everybody has kind of got their own ideas about how I'm going to get to heaven. Man makes up his own rules. And again, that's what it says here by, you know, they're not doing it by God's rules. That's what verse 32 says. The Jews did not do it by faith. When they mentioned Christ, they hung him on a cross, or had him done, had him hung by the Romans. The Jews could not hang people. They could not kill a Jew themselves. That was their law. And so they had to get the Romans to do it. The Romans did it, but the Jews got them to do it. And so, anyway, they hung him on a cross. Would you say that Christ is a stumbling stone back then? Yeah, they killed him. They hated him. So, all right. So they're trying to do it by their own rules. And people today, even today, well, everybody's got their own idea about how I'm going to go to heaven. I'm okay. I'm fine. I'm better than this guy over here. I'm doing the best I can. You know, all this. In fact, has anybody besides me ever lived like that any time in the past? I'm going to do my best. Okay? They don't understand God's rules. And folks, we are playing, we're not playing by our rules, we're playing by God's rules. And so I'm going to give this illustration here, three sins a day. Okay, let's say that I'm Joe Blow, average American citizen out there, and I know I'm a sinful person, I'm doing things that are wrong, and I can realize that I'm not doing very good in God's standards. And so I'm going to decide, I'm going to clean up my act. I'm going to turn over a new leaf. I'm going to start living better. I'm going to do better. And if I do better, God's going to like me more, and I'm going to have a better chance of getting to heaven. And so, and it's called three sins a day. And so I have no idea how many times I sin a day now, okay? But for just to have a number, let's just say I sin 1,000 times a day. I probably sin a whale of a lot more than that, you know. But let's just say I sin 1,000 times a day on the average. And I decide I'm going to turn over a new leaf. I'm going to do a better job. I'm going to get better. I'm going to start reading my Bible. I'm going to, you know, do these types of things here. And let's say I really work at it hard and I try to cut out some of these sins that I know. And let's say that I cut it down from 1,000 down to 100. Now, that's doing pretty good. Only 100 sins a day. I mean, I was 1,000, so that's doing pretty good. But I keep working at it. I work hard, and I work hard to get better and to do sin less. You know, I don't cuss as much anymore, and, you know, I don't tell quite as many dirty stories anymore and this type of thing. And so, and I work, and I work hard. I work diligently. And let's say I get it down to 3 a day. I have gone from 1,000 down to 3 sins a day. Okay, now folks, that is very good. And folks, I would be living just about as pure as an angel. Okay, only 3 sins a day, you know. And I mean, look at what I was. Look how much better I am. God would all really be proud of me now. Okay, and so at 3 sins a day, If you multiply that out, there's 365 days in a year. That is approximately 1,000 sins a year. Living like an angel, almost perfect, okay? And so 3 sins a day, 1,000 sins a year. Okay, now I am 79 years old. And so at 1,000 sins a year, that would be 79,000 sins, you know, living like an angel. And let's say I go before God and say, God, I want you to let me into heaven. but I've only got 79,000 transgressions against me. Okay? And folks, if we had that kind of a record, what kind of a chance would we have standing before an earthly judge, you know, with 79,000 transgressions, breaking the law, okay? You wouldn't stand, would you buy that, John? You know, okay, as a police officer? Okay. No, there is nobody. And yet we're going to stand before an all-holy, sin-hating God and say, I've only got 79,000 transgressions. I want you to let me into heaven. Think about that. Folks, it takes one, only one sin is all it takes to keep you out of heaven. One sin. Heaven is going to be a perfect place. And if you only committed one sin in your entire life, that is enough to send you to hell for eternity. And folks, if you were the only person that ever sinned, you only sinned one sin, Jesus Christ would still have to come to the earth, shed his blood on the cross to pay for that one sin. He loves you so much, he would be willing to do that. And folks, as we can say, we do not stand a chance of getting to heaven on our own because of what we just described right here. Three sins a day. And yet most people today, they're thinking I'm okay. I'm doing fine. I felt that way. I tried to turn over a new leaf several times, many times. I got to do better. I got to start reading my Bible. You know, and I'd read my Bible and trying to do this, go to church. Folks, it doesn't count. That sin has got to be forgiven. It's got to be paid for. And there is only one way that sin could ever be paid for, and that is through the blood of Jesus Christ, to receive Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. John 3:3 says, except a man be born again, he cannot enter the kingdom of heaven. All right? It goes on to say, just like you had a physical birth. Okay, my physical birth, I was born August the 27th, 1942. Okay, we have got to have a spiritual birth. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. That which is born of the spirit is spirit. I'm quoting on down here in John chapter 3. Okay, and so in the same way we had a physical birth, we have to have a spiritual birth in order to go to heaven. And I hope that each and every one of you have had a spiritual birth. I'm gonna just talk to you here for a little bit this morning. Yes, sir.
I was just gonna add, James 2:10 says, whoever shall keep the whole law and yet offend in one point is guilty of all. That's wrong with what you're saying.
Wonderful point, Pastor. Thank you very much. And that's good. That is good. You offend in one point, you're guilty of all. Why? Because you're a lawbreaker. How many laws you have to break to be a lawbreaker? One. Good point, Pastor. Thank you. Okay. I'm going to go through. We're not here to talk about Jim Gay, but my testimony is the one that I guess I know better than any. And I'm going to kind of walk you through the steps of what happened that night when I was saved, when I was born again. And I remember, and again, we're not here to talk about Jim Gay, but the plan of salvation is going to be here. And I had known for a long time that I was lost. I was sure of it. God convicted me of it, and I lived with that for 2 years. And for 2 years, I sat under the gospel preaching every Sunday morning, every Sunday night. Now, this is back in the old days. I had the altar calls. People came forward to be saved, and we had... We had an altar call in our church Sunday morning, Sunday night, you know, and asking people to come forward. Well, anyway, I was convicted, and finally the Lord, and I decided I'm tired of fighting, I'm tired of running, I've got this burden. I mean, I'm getting ate up inside, fearing if I died, I'd spend eternity in hell. And so on March the 9th, 1975, 8:30, you know, Grace Baptist Church, Kankakee, Illinois, at the end of the message, I came forward. All of a sudden, I decided I need to be saved. I want to be saved now. I got up. I came forward. And my pastor met me at the front of the church. He says, Jim, what did you come forward for? I thought that's a strange question. Come to find out later. Well, I told him, I said, Pastor, I want to be saved. I want to be saved. And I found out later that the reason, the pastor says, the reason I always ask that question, there's one time I asked that question, he said, and two little girls came forward. And they came up the front, and I says, girls, why did you come forward? They said, we got to go to the bathroom, and we don't know where the bathroom is. And he said, well, you go through that door over there and back down the hall, and there's the restroom, you know. So he said, you never know what people coming forward for. So he said, I always ask that question. Okay. I said, Pastor, I want to be saved. And so he called one of the elders, one of the leaders of our church. His name was Royal Reinebach. You know, I remember the name, big, tall, lanky guy. And we went to the back room, and we sat down, and he said, you know, in the side room there, just the two of us, he says, Jim, I understand you want to be saved tonight. And I said, yes, I do. And he says, well, do you have any questions or anything that you want from me? And I said, yeah. I said, I would like for you just to go through the plan of salvation with me again. That was the strangest request because I had heard it 100 times, you know. And yet when I came forward, that I wanted to hear it again. And so he asked me the question. He says, Jim, he said, okay. Jim, do you understand that God loves you? I said, yes, I do. Jim, do you understand that your sin is what keeps you out of heaven? Do you understand? Jim, do you understand that you are a sinner? I said, oh, absolutely. Absolutely. He says, do you realize that that sin will keep you out of heaven? Yes, I do. He says, do you realize that Jesus Christ came into the world, he shed his blood on the cross, he died, and your place is your substitute for your sins. Do you understand that, Jim? Yes, I do. I said, do you understand that Jesus Christ, through faith in him, is the only way you can get to heaven? Yes, I do. And he went through and this is pretty close to what it was. It's like it was yesterday, okay? And we went through he went through the gospel. And then he said something about, so Jim, now, Jim, tell me, are you ready to receive Jesus Christ into your heart as your own personal Savior? Would you like to do that now? I said, yes, I would. He said, I'll tell you what you do. Why don't you just pray to God and in your own words, tell God what you just told me? And I did. I said, dear Lord, I understand that I'm a sinner. I know that you love me. You want me in heaven. I understand that, Lord. And Lord, I realize that Jesus Christ is my only hope. There's nothing I can do on my own to earn my way to heaven. Nothing. Just like the 3 sins a day. Okay? Nothing. There's nothing I can do. And I said, I'm just asking, I want to be saved. I'm asking Jesus Christ right now to come into my heart to become my own personal Savior. And I'm asking Christ to save me. And you know what, folks? That night, he did. Christ saved me that night. And for the first time in my life, I understood John 3:3. I knew what it meant to be born again. Because that night, I had my spiritual birth. I had my spiritual birthday, and very clear, and that's basically what happened. We went through the gospel, and folks, that is the gospel. There is no other way to get to heaven. Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. And I hope that everyone here has done that. In some form, it doesn't have to be exactly like mine. But anyway, you need to know that there was a time in your life when you got serious with God and you actually asked him to come into your heart and to become your own Savior, to forgive you for your sins, and he promises he'll do it. They say, what is the verse? You have to believe, and then with your mouth you confess Jesus Christ. So we have to confess it. And felt, I don't know. And I just, we're going through this stuff. They say that they're trying to get to heaven. They're doing it on their own way in verse 32 here. Trying their own methods. Folks, that is a method I just shared with you to go to heaven. And I'm just going to take a moment. It's a burden on my heart. There might be somebody sitting in this room right now that is not saved, and you know it. You might be a Jim Gay from the past, and you might been playing church for years, you know. Anyway, and you've been fighting it. In fact, I stopped and I was thinking, what were some of the reasons as an unsaved person? What was I trying to hang on to? Why didn't I want to yield to the Lord? I was thinking about that. And for me, I knew that there's a line here, and you cross that line, it's different. You know, I was afraid that God was going to make something out of me that I didn't want to be. God was going to change me, and I didn't want that. I was pretty happy with me. I'm thinking I'm okay. And anyway, I thought, what about all my friends? You know, I got these guys I'm running with, good friends and stuff, ungodly guys, and we all were. We were lost, you know. What are they going to say? And I mean, it was thoughts like this, and I was scared of what God is going to do to me. Because I figured if I become a Christian, God is liable to send me to Africa as a missionary. And I did not want to do that. And I mean, these are some of the things that were holding me back. And then I was just afraid. I thought, this is going to be different on the other. When I cross that line, it's going to be different. And I don't know what God's going to do to me. God may someday want me to teach a Sunday school class. That was a horrible thought. Horrible thought. Anyway, but I'm just going to take a moment here. And there might be somebody in here that has been fighting it. You know you're fighting it. And you're tired of running. You're tired of fighting. You need to get it settled. You need to get it settled now. I'm just going to take a moment and let you pray and just ask the Lord. If you're not saved, to ask the Lord to save you and ask Christ to become your own personal Savior. And let's just bow in prayer for just a moment. Give you a chance to pray a prayer similar to what I said. And Christians, pray that God would convict anyone here that is lost. So let's pray. Dear Father, we're thankful, Lord, for the gospel. We're thankful, Lord, that you're willing to save. Your arms are wide open. Folks, we take one step forward and you come running just like the prodigal son. And Father, with wide open arms. And Lord, I just pray that if there's anyone here, Lord, that you would save them this morning. Lord, we need the gospel. It's the only way to get to heaven. We need Jesus Christ in our heart as our own personal Savior. Lord, we won't get there without that. And so, Father, we're thankful for your word. We're thankful that the gospel can be so simple. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay, that was kind of a different turn, but I've had this burden on my heart because you never know. You never know. Folks, it's the only battle you'll ever win by surrender. And that pastor back in Illinois, he used to always say this little phrase, "Nothing in my hand I bring, simply to the cross I cling." And that's actually a phrase out of the song, Rock of Ages. So, okay. I guess I'm just going to go ahead and shift gears. And we're going to go ahead and move into the next chapter. I guess I'd finished Romans chapter 9. And I remember my pastor, met up with me that same night. And he came, he says, "Jim, I understand you got saved tonight." And I said, "Yes, I did." He said, "I'll tell you what, if you would you tell somebody?" He said, "It'll strengthen your faith. Just tell somebody, hey, I got saved this morning." Go to somebody that you respect, somebody that you know, somebody that'll understand,
Not somebody's going to make fun of you, you know, but just, you know, put you down. But tell somebody. It'll strengthen you. So. Okay, we're getting ready now to begin chapter 10 of Romans. Kind of a lead in to this chapter. If the theme of chapter 9 is the sovereignty of God, the theme of chapter 10 is the choice of man. Folks, we're talking about man's choice now. We're talking about choice, not sovereignty. Choice. As we now come to chapter 10, Paul continues this great section in the place of Israel in God's plan. And to lead into this, let's turn to Leviticus chapter 26. This is all part of God's plan. Leviticus 26. We're going to read verses 13 through 17. Got to listen for pages to stop flipping. Okay. And who would read these verses for us? John?
I am the Lord your God, which brought you forth out of the land of Egypt, that you should not be there longer. I have broken the bands of your yoke and made you upright. But if you will not hearken unto me and will not do all these commandments, and if you shall despise my statutes, or if your soul abhor my judgments, so that you will not do all the commandments, but that ye break my covenant, I also will do this unto you, and will even come over you care and consumption and the burning
Okay, thank you, John. And folks, again, this is God giving them this covenant. But he says, you know, if you turn against me. And again, as you look at these and you see all the things that God said he's going to do in these last two verses, you know, people talk about, you know, God, I always want to talk about God as love. He's a God of love. Folks, we need to understand who God is. God is also a God of wrath. Also a God of wrath. And he can bring the hammer down hard. And so we can take how seriously God takes his word and how seriously we should take it too. So, and actually that verse continues on. You know, we just got started. But five more increasingly severe chastisements follow through verse 39. It keeps getting worse. Worse than what we just read. And if they won't turn around, it's going to keep getting worse. And we could take a look at the Jews, their history. They have been, well, you know, the Holocaust. And I mean, just all kinds of stuff. I mean, today, they're firing rockets on them. I mean, they're just, because God is still pouring his wrath out on the Jews because they have rejected the gospel. There are many more scriptures that say the same thing. We could entitle chapter 10, Israel's Failure. That's what we're going to look at here. The first book and look in the chapter is very... Okay. The first look at the chapter is a very important word in Scripture. The word is truth. Truth. That's a very important word. Jesus said to the Jews, ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. In John 17:17, Jesus says, sanctify them by thy truth. Thy word is truth. There are many verses that indicate to us that the Lord Jesus Christ put a premium on truth and the knowledge of the truth.
Folks, that's why we're here today, to learn the truth, to study the truth, the Word. God's Word is truth. Men must know the truth, the salvation-giving truth. But the Apostle Paul said, sadly, men are ever learning, but never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. That's 2 Timothy 3:7. But nobody ever made a more extensive, constant effort to find the truth, seemingly, than the Jews. They studied harder than anybody. From little kids all the way up, they were taught all their lives. They occupied themselves in an effort to understand God's truth. They pursued knowledge about God as a way of life. It was their life. I wish you could say that about us today in our country. We don't. We reject the Word. We persecute those that do, you know. You would be educated from your youth all your life long in what they believe to be the truth. In the time of Jesus, Jerusalem then had become a citadel of knowledge, a citadel of the pursuit of truth. The scribes were respected. They were honored. The people believed that they had a certain mystical knowledge of secret things that no one else could find and no one else could understand. Is there anything like that going on in our nation today? You know, there's a lot of, there's religions that teach, don't even read the Bible. You can't understand it. You let us tell you what it says. We're the scholars. They had some way of getting behind the Scripture into some mystical meaning. And they came to believe the mysteries that the rabbis taught from beyond the obvious teachings of Scripture. They believed that these teachers had found a sovereignty. That was wrapped up in this sort of knowledge. Those who could teach mystical things that no one else could see had great power. They were highly respected. They were the interpreters of God's law. Let us tell you what God says. Jesus Christ came into the world to reveal truth. But Israel was ignorant of that truth. Now Israel's ignorance becomes a theme of this chapter. The history of the people of Israel is really a tragedy. Israel is the greatest illustration in history of lost opportunity, of missed privilege. When God brought Israel, his chosen people, out of Egypt after centuries of slavery, he gave them the best land the earth had to offer. He gave them the fulfillment of promise after promise of divine blessing. They stood ready to receive immeasurable blessings from his gracious hand. But instead, theirs is a saga of judgment, God's wrath. And even today, the same thing continues. Israel stood on the edge of the new land of Canaan, about ready to embark upon a land of blessing and inherit all that God had promised to those who were obedient. Moses said his last farewell, he himself being barred from the land because of his own impulsive sin. But in that last farewell, he said some very sobering things. And again, let's turn to Deuteronomy chapter 31. And we're going to see what Moses had to say as they were in a promised land. Deuteronomy chapter 31. And we'll read verses 16 through 21. Everybody got it? Okay. Who'd read 16 through 21 for us, please? I'm going to skip over you, Delbert. Surely there's got to be a hand go up somewhere else. Royce, I see that hand.
And the Lord said to Moses, behold, you will rest with your fathers, and this people will rise and play the harlot with the gods of the foreigners of the land. But they go to be among them, and they will forsake me and break my covenant which I have made with them. Then my anger forgotten in the mouths of their descendants, for I knew the inclinations of their behavior today, even before I have brought them to the land of which I swore to give them.
21. Yeah, that was, you're done. Thank you, Royce. Thank you. Okay, Moses is telling them, I mean, they're standing on it, ready to go into the promised land. And this is what Moses tells them. And he writes this song, and it goes on. And that's a long song. You'd ought to read that. But anyway, and I think it's funny that God would have them learn this song that Moses writes. But it is actually a song, and you know how a song can stick in your mind, you know, for a long time? I mean, I remember songs back when I was a kid, and, you know, they stick with you. And I think God had Moses write this song, and the Bible says they taught it to the people learned it, but then as they're seeing all this bad stuff happen, that song's got a ring in their ears. They won't forget it. Hey, that's what God, you know, we're suffering right now, and yet we could remember that song and what we learned and memorized back there under not under Moses, but anyway, that we learned. And it made it stick in her mind. Even today, the same thing continues. Chapter 9 was offensive to the Jews, and chapter 10 is going to be equally offensive to them. Because it's going to mark out their ignorance and unbelief, he begins it in the same tenderness, the same heartfelt love that he expressed in chapter 9. And so, with these thoughts in mind, let's go ahead and read Romans chapter 10, and we'll read the first three verses, verses 1 through 3. And who'd read that for us? Gary Roper, I see that hand. Chapter 10, verses 1 through 3. Okay, thank you, Gary. And you know what? My enemy says it's time to stop. So, we have to stop. Okay, we got 2.5 minutes. So, any questions or comments about anything that we've talked about this morning? John?
I'm saying publicly here, I'd like to be one that somebody comes to and wants to death.
Okay.
If you don't want to tell a pastor or a deacon that scares you or some other reason, I don't know what it would be. I'm available.
Yeah. So, thank you. Thank you, John. Anybody else? Okay, we're going to let you go a little bit early today. All right, let's just close the word of prayer. Thank you guys for coming, and I appreciate you being here. So let's pray. Dear Father, we're thankful, Lord, for your word. We're thankful for your gospel, Lord, that saves. And Lord, being a saved person, we can look forward, Lord, to being spending eternity in heaven with you. And Father, just... what a blessing. We don't deserve it, but Lord, you give it to us by your grace. And Lord, I just pray that you'll help each and every one of us to grow stronger. Lord, to become more obedient, to have a stronger desire to live the way you tell us to live. And Lord, just trying to do better like the three sins a day, Lord, just to try to honor you more by living a cleaner, purer life. But Lord, that will not save us, but it'll help us to grow, and it'll help our testimonies. And I pray, Lord, that you'll be with each and one of our testimonies here. Lord, the unsaved are watching. They're watching us and to see how we handle things. And Lord, again, I just pray that you'll just work in our hearts, and Lord, just to give us a stronger desire to live for you. Just pray, Lord, that you'll be this morning with us. And as Pastor John brings a message,
I pray, Father, you'll open our hearts for the message he has for us. I pray that you'll speak to us and convict us. And Lord, I pray that we'll walk out of here changed. And Lord, just to have a stronger desire to live for you and to walk close. So just be with the service to follow, every aspect of our church, and just pray, Lord, that through it all, that you will be glorified. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You're dismissed.